In our reading earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through verse 10, we find the text for our study and the subject of our study this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9, in the New King James Version it reads, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You note this verse begins with the word "but." It's put in contrast to that which was previously said about those who engaged in unbelief and disobedience, which brought about their doom. But these to whom Peter is writing to are in contrast to that. These to whom Peter is writing had obeyed, and they are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people. The American Standard Version renders it a little differently, as does the New American Standard Bible, English Standard Version, and others. Instead of a chosen or elect generation, it has an elect race and a holy nation. An elect race and a holy nation. That's the subject of our study this morning. Not only are these to whom Peter is writing referred to as an elect race, but they're referred to as a holy nation. The word race and nation are very similar, though they mean two different things. For example, the word race itself has reference to a family of people. A family of people that have descended from the same father, you might say. Now, this word is translated differently in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, it's even translated by the word nation twice in the King James Version. But note, in Mark 7 and verse 26, there was a woman, a Greek, Syrophoenician by birth. She kept asking Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. The word "birth" here is the word "race" in our text. So she was a Syrophoenician. Simply means she was a Syrian from Phoenicia. And she was that by birth. She was a Syrian by birth, by race, by family. She descended from that group of people. We see it used again in Galatians 1 and verse 14, where Paul said, "I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, among my own race." We see the word "race" here translated "nation" because even though the word "race" has reference to those who descend from the same father, remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He had 12 sons. And in order for it to be translated "race" on one hand and "nation" on the other hand, people descend from the same father and they become a nation of people. And that's why it's translated "nation" here. So Paul says, beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, among my own race of people, among the people whom I descended from. Acts 13 and verse 26, we see it translated "family." Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God. As Paul spoke in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia here, he referred to them as sons of the family of Abraham. Family or race of Abraham. They descended from Abraham. Abraham was their father from which they all descended. So we see how the word "race" is used. In Philippians 3 and in verse 5, Paul said he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. So here it's translated "stock," "race," "family of Israel," earlier known as Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And he had 12 sons, and one of those sons was Benjamin. So again, it is a descent from one individual, from one father. And so that's the way the word "race" is used in our text. You are a chosen race of people. That is, you're a chosen family of people, all who have descended from the same father. Christians have all come from the same father. We have the same genetic heritage. We come from God. He fathered us. James 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth. He begat us. He fathered us. He gave us life. We descended from the same Father. How did He do that? How did He beget us? How did He father us? By or through the Word. By or through the truth. By or through the gospel of Christ. That's how He fathered us. That's how He brought us to new life. In 1 Peter 1, in verse 23, having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed. God fathers us. He produces children out of His seed. A spiritual seed, not a mortal seed, not the mortal seed of man, but a spiritual seed, the Word of God. So God has fathered us through the seed, the Word of God. He brought us to life through that seed. Of course, not only did this new life, not only was it produced by God, but man had something to do with it. We read in John 3 and in verse 3 and following, where Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Note that, unless one is born again, having been born again through the Word of God, 1 Peter 2 and verse 23. So unless one is born again, he cannot see or enter, participate in the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? How can he be regenerated? How can he be made new when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Unless one is born of the water and Spirit. To be born of the Spirit is to be born with the Spirit-inspired Word. The Spirit plants the seed in the heart. It's the Word of God. And that seed produces a Christian. It produces nothing else. Now, isn't it interesting that the Spirit there is connected with water? And of course, this new life begins in the water of baptism. Romans 6 and in verse 3. "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." God begets us. He fathers us. He brings us to life in baptism. By or through the Word of God and our obedience to it. Contrast that in our text with those who were doomed because of their unbelief and disobedience. But these are an elect race. They're an elect family. 1 Peter 2, 1 and verse 22. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever." They had purified their souls in obedience to the truth. This took place, of course, in baptism. They had become part of the family of God. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 21. "There's also an added type which now saves us. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Baptism saves. It regenerates. It makes us new in Christ Jesus. It brings about the completion of our new birth. All that began with the planting of the seed, the Word of God, in our hearts. 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 14, "Then these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself," note this, "in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." The house of God is the family of God, because we have the same genetic heritage. We all come from the same Father. We're children of God. We are indeed an elect race or elect family of people having the same Father. It reminds me of Galatians 3, 26, 27. "For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We come into that family relationship with God in baptism. We're all come from the same Father. But our text says that this family is an elect family or an elect race of people. This race is an elect race in that God has elected or chosen these people. How did He elect or choose us? He elect or chose us through sanctification of the Spirit. 1 Peter 1 and in verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, note this, in or by sanctification of the Spirit, for, in order to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. What do we have in that passage? Well, we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. It was in God's mind and God's plan for man to be saved in Christ Jesus. In sanctification or by sanctification of the Spirit. What does sanctification mean? Sanctification means that we've been set apart, consecrated to the service of God. That is, the Spirit sanctifies us, sets us apart. How does the Spirit do that? Well, He does that through the Word. For, in order to our obedience to what? Obedience to the Word, the seed that is planted in our hearts. And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. No doubt a reference to baptism. So this race, this elect race, is elect or chosen by God through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the Word and obedience to that Word. 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 13, Paul said, "But we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning," note this, "from the beginning chose you, elected you for, in order to salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." Sanctification by the Spirit. The Spirit sanctifies us, sets us apart, consecrates us to the service of God. How does He do that? Through the Word and our obedience to it. So God has elected these people to whom Peter is writing, and they are an elect race or elect family, not because of their unbelief, but because of their obedience to the Word. These elect people to whom Peter is writing on this occasion are God's people. They're God's family through obedience to the Word. They are Gentiles. In Romans 11 and verse 13 and following, Paul said, "But I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. And if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are of my flesh, and save some of them, my flesh, Jews. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world," that is the people of the world, the Gentile world, "what will their acceptance be," the Jews' acceptance be, "but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, 'Branches were broken off that I might be grafted in.'" Branches, the Jews. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. "Do not be haughty, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, He might not spare you either." These to whom Peter was writing were an elect race of people. They were Gentiles, but they had not always been God's people. They had not always been an elect family of God. But now they are the family of God. Now they are the people of God. Romans 2 and in verse 28, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men but from God." We studied this not long ago. Not physical circumcision makes one a Jew, a true or a genuine Jew, but spiritual circumcision makes one a Jew. When does that take place? It takes place in baptism. Colossians 2, verse 11 and 12. That makes one a true Jew. Philippians 3 and verse 3. Paul said, "We are the circumcision," meaning we are the true or genuine circumcision, speaking of Christians. Why? Because they've undergone spiritual circumcision in baptism. They've become children of God. They have a covenant relationship with Him through baptism. Galatians 6 and verse 13 then. As many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God, upon the church. The Gentiles at one time were not the people of God, but now they are the people of God. They are the Israel of God. They are the true Jew, the genuine Jew in the sight of God. Again, this has not always been true, but the Gentile is and does belong to the true family of God now. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9 again. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Know this, who were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. A reference to Hosea chapter 2 and verse 23 in reference to the Gentiles. The Gentiles have become God's people in Christ Jesus. They're now part of the elect race. God had an elect race in times past. It was the Jews. But the Jews were broken off because of unbelief, because of disobedience. But you are a chosen generation, both Jew and Gentile, that have rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, make up this elect race. But they also make up this holy nation as well. This race of people is not only elect or chosen by God as His family, but it is a holy nation. A holy nation is a nation that has been set apart and consecrated to the service of God. And you might say, well, I thought that's what sanctification was. The words holy, sanctify, and sanctification all come from the same root word. It's the same idea under consideration in the phrases. But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, they're referred to as a kingdom. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In this nation, in this kingdom, people are born again. That's how they get into the kingdom. Remember our reading a few moments ago in John 3 and in verse 3? Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. One became part of the family of God when he was born again. But one also becomes part of this nation or kingdom when he is born again. Unless he is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Same thing is true, he cannot enter the family of God unless he is born of the water and the Spirit. Remember, the Spirit and the consideration is the Spirit-inspired Word, and the water is the water of baptism. And over this kingdom, or over this nation that is a holy nation, Christ rules and reigns as King. Acts 2 and verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, that is David, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, that is David, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we're all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, with certainty, that God has made this Jesus whom you've crucified, note this, both Lord and Christ. Lord, Kyrios, Master, Ruler, Supreme in authority. He rules and reigns over His kingdom, over His holy nation of people. In Philippians 2 and in verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that of the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is what? Is Lord, Master, Ruler, and King over the kingdom, over this nation, over this holy nation. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 21. Then comes the end when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for He must reign till He's put all enemies under His feet. Christ rules and reigns over this holy nation, and He will reign to the utter end. In Ephesians 1 and in verse 19, we learn that this kingdom under consideration is the church. Ephesians 1 and verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, when He worked in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. Far above all principality, might, power, and authority." No one outranks Him. He is Lord over all. "And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." So this holy nation is the kingdom of Christ. It's the kingdom of God. It is the church under consideration. And people of this nation are citizens in the kingdom. People who are in this family, in this elect race, are citizens in the kingdom of God. Now this kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom. And our citizenship is not found up someplace here upon this earth, but in heaven itself. Philippians 3 and verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is in heaven. That is, the place of our citizenship is there. You might live in one nation, but your citizenship might be in another nation. You might live in one state, but your citizenship might be in another state. We live upon this earth, but the place of our citizenship is in heaven. This nation is also, I said, is a holy nation. A holy nation. This promise was made to Israel of old that they would be a holy nation. Exodus 19 and verse 5, "Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be," note this, "a special treasure to me above all people of all the earth," for all the earth is mine. "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel," God said to Moses. They would be a holy nation. A holy is a nation that is separate and apart from all other nations. There's no other nation of people upon this earth who can claim God as their God. The Jews in the first century thought the Jewish nation was the only nation that could claim God exclusively as their God. But we live upon this earth, and we certainly can today. There's no other nation of people who have the God that we have, that rules and reigns over us as the God of heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As a holy nation, we have been separated or set apart from all other nations in order to be exclusively and belong exclusively to God. Note this. Again, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people." In 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, "You are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession." A people who belong only to God. No other nation of people on earth belong to God except you, if you are in the family of God. If you are a citizen in this kingdom of God under consideration. This holy nation is a people of God's own possession. Just as He had promised to Israel of old, if they would obey His voice, they would indeed be a special treasure to Him. They would be His own possession, and they would be a holy nation. Those words did not become true in the physical nation of Israel. They become true only in the spiritual nation of Israel, only in the church. Again, Galatians 6 and in verse 16, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." When God made that promise to Moses in Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6 regarding the nation of Israel, He had in mind spiritual Israel. They, that is the Jewish nation, did not keep the word. They were disobedient to the word. They were broken off. Those who obeyed the word were grafted in. They became the true Jew. They became the true Israel of God. They became the elect family or race belonging to God. And they became the holy nation, exclusively belonging to God. So do you want to be one of the elect race today? Do you want to be one of the holy nation today? You can. Through your obedience to the word in baptism. To be a part of the family of God, this elect race, remember you got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. The Spirit plants the seed in your heart. It's been planted in your heart this morning. If it will take root through your belief in it, then through your obedience in baptism, you can become a part of the elect race. You can become a member of the family of God. If you want to be a part of this holy nation, become a citizen of this holy nation, you simply do the same thing. Through obedience to the word in baptism, you can be sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart and consecrated to His service. If you have obeyed in times past, but yet as a child of God, you have sin in your life through disobedience, repent of that sin. Confess that sin to God. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.